somebody who works for the TSA, the new three dreaded letters in America. Used to be AIG, now it's TSA. I'm flying on Thursday at 6 a.m. headed to Florida. I have a feeling I'll be okay, though, because nobody's going to be awake. And there may be some travelers, but I think it'll be pretty light. Compared to Wednesday, Wednesday is the biggest travel day. It is also National Opt-Out Day. Ironically, the guy who started the buzz over National Opt-Out, meaning don't do the body scanners, go for the pats, so that you can clog up the lines and demonstrate that we don't have to put up with this nonsense. He's not even flying. That's pretty ironic, isn't it? My name's Kate Delaney. The show is America Tonight, coast to coast, and all the flyover states. Love me some flyover states. I've probably lived in them. Went to school at Ohio University, so spent some time in Ohio. Spent time in Illinois. Spent time in Minnesota. A couple of times in Minneapolis. I also spent some time in Wisconsin. How do they say that? Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin. There are some fun things to do there. There's even a little skiing. They get that cold weather. There's some good skiing in the Midwest. Although I like as much powder as, if I'm going to ski, I like the powder stuff, not the icy stuff. People listening to me in Vermont and in the East Coast, you know what I'm talking about. And in Vermont, I skied Killington, and that is one icy mountain. It can be very, very icy, tough to ski in the ice. I don't know how I digress, but that's what I do here on this show. So we do have a lot to get to. The president very busy guaranteeing that to the South Koreans that we will help you defend yourself against the North Koreans. Also, the president getting ready for the showdown over the nuclear pact with Russia, insisting that the nation's security could be in grave danger. The president rallied former diplomatic and military chiefs from both parties on Thursday to pressure Republican senators to ratify, remember, that nuclear weapons deal with Russia. He's saying that he would gain the votes this year, but a lot of people say he's not going to have one chance at getting that through. In other words, that snowball that we were talking about, you know the relationship, snowball's chance in hell. That's what a lot of people are predicting anyway. And this is a bounce back from last week, because was part of the conversation that the Prez was having, talking about ratification. And it's pretty testy. That's a key push. How will the president get the 67 votes he needs in the 100-person Senate? Stay tuned to win ratification before Congress ends its current wrap-up session. In other words, the lame duckers. Good luck with the lame duckers there. All right, also, too, this will make the headlines, although I'm not much for this show. I've only seen snippets of it in flipping around advertisements. But how about this? In the end, guess who won Dancing with the Stars? You know who it was? Jennifer Grey. Do you believe it? But she did. I'm thinking, what was that movie she was in? Dirty Dancing. And that was a very long time ago, right? 50 years old. She had an ice pack, I guess, tucked into the back of her costume. But she won Dancing with the Stars. Is it because everybody was nostalgic for Patrick Swayze in that film in the late 80s? Or I don't know. I don't know, because I didn't watch it, so I can't tell you. But she did knock off some of those much younger girls, let's put it that way. Okay, so we move along to a few other things that are on our radar here on ATN, including some housekeeping things. Don't forget, we've got Nail the Score. That's coming up in our third hour next show. You could be a winner like Chris in Connecticut. Hopefully we will get another winner for the rest of the season. We'll have a bunch of winners, actually. That would be terrific if that were to happen. She didn't completely clean out our prize closet, because we still have new things coming in. So you might be able to get the bragging rights and also get some pretty cool things as a result. All right, I mentioned the president and the fact that he's been very busy, whether it's pushing for the the ratification of a treaty, or whether or not he's pushing another agenda. This time, it's tax cuts. Here's what he had to say.
The next few weeks, I'm asking Congress to take up this issue. The last thing we can afford to do right now is raise taxes on middle-class families.
Let's hope. Everybody listening to me, what category do you fall into? If it's the middle class, boy, you do not want to have to be in another bracket. You do not want to have to pay more taxes. So from taxes to what I first mentioned, the grope by the TSA, the new three dreaded letters, John Pistol, the man behind the TSA, busy these days, talking about a couple of things, flight attendants too, he says, and boycott threats and all the worries over that. They are a little bit worried, I'd say. Here are his thoughts.
We had discussions last Friday with representatives of flight attendants associations, and we are discussing that, but there's been no decision made on that. What we don't know is how many people actually do this, and so I don't really have a way of predicting other than say we're fully staffed, we will deal with every contingency we can, but there's no guarantees that people get on that flight if there are a large number of people who are protesting. If we have a large number of people who decide to protest, to opt out, I think that will have an adverse impact on the vast majority of people who are simply trying to get home for the holidays to be with loved ones.
Yeah, people are trying to get home, and you don't want to travel on, I'll tell you, you don't want to travel on Wednesday if you're trying to get home. You want to travel a couple of days ahead of time or on the day of, in my experience, because it's always bad anyway. Now you multiply it with the situation and, you know, throw it up in the air and you'll see what you get.
Did you hear that music in the background? It sounded like he was in a Macy's elevator or something.
It did. It's funny you said that because I was thinking the same thing. Like, where are they interviewing him? Following him around? Like, is TMZ following him around?
I know. He's just got this little Kenny G going on in the background.
Kenny G. Josh Hamilton is the man, and he gets more hardware to prove it from the Texas Rangers. MVP. Anyway, here's Josh Hamilton, always giving his teammates credit.
These guys set the table for me and allowed me to get my numbers where they were at the end of the season, and for that I'm grateful.
All right, did you hear the cliche that he used there? I'm not picking on Josh Hamilton, but they set the table for me. I like the sports cliches. I probably got about 1,000 of them. Setting the table would be one. Biscuit in the basket.
One game at a time.
Yeah, one game at a time. Oh, give her a ride. There's no stewardess on this one. I mean, those are some of the older ones, but I can really think of a lot of them. I bet you can, too. We're going to have to do a show on that. Cliches that you would love to see banned forever when you watch, like, ESPN or Fox, and they're saying this. Or, you know, it's just the athletes themselves. They say the same thing, like the one game at a time is a big coach one, but is also a big player one, too. We're playing for the next day, all that stuff. I mean, that's what it is. And sports is rolled up into the cliche, maybe worse than any of the other things that we talk about here on these airwaves. Hey, coming up, you want to hang through. We got a lot of fun things happening the end of this hour all the way through. And again, you can shoot us an email at americatonight.net. For those of you listening who are taking off for other parts, be careful about the TSA and the grope. But happy Thanksgiving.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
So what's your plan when you make it to the airport? Do you just look around and try to get the best line? I have to say, I do profile the TSA folks. I do. Is that bad to admit that? I mean, are you going to call the politically correct police on me? I look across the lines and I try to see who I believe will give me the easiest pass to go through. And so far, I have been correct in the last, because I've traveled a lot in the last 6 months, I've been correct on every single flight that I've taken. Now, I don't want to jinx myself or brag about my profiling skills of the TSA folks who might shake me down in one of the numerous places that I've been in, but I will do it again. I will admit to this. I will cop to this on Thursday. I will be doing it. Plus, I've got, remember, my TSA, anti-TSA ring in case somebody decides to touch me when I don't want to be touched. So the United States Airlines scheduled flights in September were 526,000. That's according to the Air Consumer Travel Report. Did you know there was such a thing? Down from more than 600,000 in September of 2007. So all that gobbledygook I just gave you, the statistical information, what does it mean? Each flight is now fuller. You know that because how often do you get on a flight? It used to be the best thing. And this is another thing when you want to talk about handicapping flights and situations. Whenever you get on a plane, I mean, let's admit to that, if you're one of the gate lice who gets let in soon enough that you're in your section and there are not a lot of people around you, you know you're eyeballing everybody who comes in. You're profiling, but you're profiling for different reasons. You want that open seat next to you. You do. Or you want space, or you're hoping that the person coming next to you is not a yapper. Yap, 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 yap. Ever sit next to one of those? You know when you're, like, exhausted? And I'm super friendly. So, of course, as the accommodator, I'm going to roll with whatever happens. But it never fails with me. When I have been through whatever it is on the other end, whether we wrapped up our show and the timing is weird, whatever, get on the plane, haven't had a lot of sleep, I get the yapper. Oh, I could write a book with whatever it is they're telling me. And that's sometimes what happens to me. And then let's face it, we talked about with Greg Stevin, the editor of Men's Health magazine, one of them anyway, about the possibility of child-free flights. Now, can you imagine? The ACLU, first of all, is going to be all over that. I don't see how that's going to happen. And then you have the problem with the flights that I just mentioned, how the flights are down. So if you have the flights shrinking, I can't imagine that they're going to be able to manipulate that. Now, maybe sections, but still, I think you might have some problems with that. But people complain about it. You know how it is. A kid, their ears pop and if they're really young, and they cry the whole time. And I don't even mind the crying so much if that happens to me, because this is a small child. I mean, their ears are popping. Their mother, their father's trying to do something to stop it. It's life. I mean, did you cry on a plane? Did you fly on a plane when you're just a wee little babe? But it's the kids that kick the seat, and the parents don't care, don't pay attention, that are kicking the seat when you're on a flight all the way from LAX to JFK. That's bad. That is the worst, hands down thing. Because you're there, you have nowhere to go. The flights are so packed now, you're not going to find an empty seat. So that's what we do. Let's face it, that's what we all do when we go to the airport. Now, we know this time you also have the added thing, and that is the checks and whether or not you're going to get the shakedown and the problems with that, and do you go through the scanner? You don't want to go through the scanner. I mean, the whole thing. There are a lot of cranky flyers right now, and I don't blame anyone for being cranky. It's obvious because they're fed up with having to endure what they have to endure sometimes through the TSA. Now, I happened to read something today, and you might have also read it and heard it. I did hear it, too, as well. On our network, Alex Jones had Congressman Ron Paul on, and it made big news, not because he had Congressman Paul on, but Congressman Paul was on, and he was talking about the fact that he had his crotch groped, etc. And the reason why is, and see, we may find more of this, the reason why is because he's got metal in his knee. So if he has metal in his knee, like other people, if you have metal parts somewhere, you're going to set off the security. You're going to set it off when you go through, right? The scanners or whatever, when you go through, you're going to set them off, the metal detectors, basically. the arches you go through. So when you go through it, you set it off, and they used to just wand you. Now it's more than wanding you, and they don't know. I mean, do you think half those TSA employees, do you think that they could name, not to just completely rip on them, but do you think they could name, really, I don't know, a handful of Congress folks and senators? Of course not. Do they really know who's going through? And the answer is, I mean, no, it's just another body, I guess, that's going through. So in the case of Congressman Paul, what happened was he had the metal detector go off, and he travels obviously a lot back and forth from Texas to Washington and other places. So that's what he has to endure when he flies, and he's saying it's ridiculous. He's calling for a boycott of the airlines. He's calling for a boycott of that mode of transportation. Of course, it'd be pretty tough for him to get to Washington. We need to get to Washington. But he's saying that the TSA and the naked body scanners and the genitalia groping is under this pretty much pretense of protecting Americans from terrorists that are in caves, let's face it. So the terrorists who are in caves, which is a very good point, touche, those terrorists are disguised as moms, disguised as, I don't know, young children, and that they're the ones that are going to harm us, and they're the ones that are having to go through the backscatter radiation body scanners and some of the other stuff. I'll tell you what, I think Congress in January is really going to look at it hard. I think they're going to rein TSA in. I would be surprised if they don't, and that's what Paul said, that something's wrong with us, that people don't deserve to be humiliated and demeaned by the government if they refuse to stand up and resist. So the TSA in record numbers is more than infuriating people, they're embarrassing, humiliating, you know, et cetera. Demoralizing is what it is when you go to the airport. And I'm reading other things from people who are saying, oh, that's ridiculous, and, you know, the media needs to get off their back, and they're a bunch of sissies, and I read that somewhere today. I'm like, bunch of sissies? I mean, you know, this is the thing. Think about it. It's easy to look, like I said, it's like we're looking at porn because you turn on the internet now and that's what you see, all this groping and stuff. But I don't think we're a bunch of sissies because we don't want to get shaked down when we go to the airport. And remember, you have to do it coming and going. And then, what if you have like a 3-leg trip? You know, where you're going from wherever. Like if I were going from Texas to Florida and then on to Philadelphia. Ooh, me oh my. Forget it. I have to come up with, I think, something a little bit different. All right, so that's my take on the TSA. I got my ring. I got my camera rolling. I got the trusty iPhone. Let's see. Got that iPhone thing. A lot of you can see that, right? You got one of those in your back pocket somewhere. Anymore, all of us can take those pictures, and we're seeing a lot of those pictures. That's what Ron Paul needs to do. He needs to just pull out his iPhone and say, hold on a second. He needs to get some pictures taken with the people when they're making him go through what he has to go through because of a bum knee. Let's mix in a couple of other things. I mentioned how awful it was, of course, in New Zealand. We're talking about that second explosion and the fact that you're talking about 29 miners dead or 27 miners dead. They're not, at this point, it's a matter of making sure. But sadly, knowing with the gas situation, that's what it has to be. I don't know how you would survive that in the particular area. You know, that's always the panic and the waiting for the families. Just so, so sad. And at this point, you wonder, as far as safety is concerned, how many shortcuts are taken that are leading to some of these conditions in these mines? I said a few moments ago in our last segment that, yes, they know the risks, and yes, they're getting paid really big money, but at what point does it become not about the green stuff and about, well, you know, you can't take it with you, and then when you're going into these conditions, are you thinking that the mine has your best interests at heart? Are they not taking shortcuts that will kill you in the safety department? And that's why, like I said, 29 believed dead after that second explosion in New Zealand. Stay with us.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
All right, we're trying to get your mind off of the possible or probable pat down at the airport that might be waiting you if you're flying. And that's just a little favor from all of us at America Tonight to all of you listening to this show. And by the way, what are you going to do when you get to the airport? You can share your potential ideas with us at 800-259-5791. We thought that it would be fun to bring on one of our favorite guests from that other coast, the one I used to live on, not too far from Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, who knows, I mean, amazing amounts of trivia about just about, you know, any of the big movies you can think of, or even things like, you know, the cartoons and Walt Disney, and Mickey Mouse just celebrated a big birthday, so it's perfect for him to jump on these airways with us. So we're going to usher him in from our virtual green room. Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Good. You know, it's so funny. You sent me a note about Mickey Mouse's birthday, and I thought, I should know that. When I was a kid, everything was Mickey Mouse for me. I mean, I was all about Mickey Mouse, and I was so psyched my first time that I got to actually meet Mickey Mouse. I was 7 years old at Disneyland.
Well, you know, he's amazing. Each generation seems to rediscover him. And he's been for around a long time. His official birthday was November 18th, 1928.
Woo!
When they had the first sound cartoon, Steamboat Willie. And there had actually been things going on before that. Walt Disney had lost the rights to a character called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit to Universal Studios. And he had also lost a lot of his artists. That Universal had hired them out from under him. He didn't want to work for Universal. They made him an offer to go on the payroll. He wanted to stay on his own. So he had his chief artist, Ub Iwerks, basically create Mickey as a replacement character for Oswald. And then he had the problem of trying to sell him, and it was very, very difficult without the Universal connection. And one of the things that happened, it's Hollywood lore, although it's been disputed by some people. He took Mickey to MGM, and Louis B. Mayer, the head of the studio, saw him and said, absolutely not. A giant mouse will terrify all the pregnant women. They'll go running out of the theater. By the way, when Mickey first started, he wasn't such a nice guy. Actually, in his very first outing, it was a cartoon called Plane Crazy.
Uh-huh.
He tried to force himself on Minnie in a plane, and Minnie jumped out with a parachute to escape him.
Oh,
so that,
man.
That might have been what... Yeah, so that might have been what Louis B. Mayer was reacting to. And then what happened was, after getting limited distribution on the first two Mickey cartoons, Walt came up with the idea of having a sound cartoon, Steamboat Willie. And it was very difficult to get that completed. He finally met this sort of pirate-like character whose name was Pat Powers, who had been around in the movie business since the earliest days, but was kind of a crook and cheated people out of money. But Walt didn't know that. You know, Walt was 26 years old and kind of desperate to get his character out there. And Powers was a real charming guy. And Powers had access to some sound equipment, a system called Cinephone. And so Walt was able to get this cartoon made in Steamboat Willie, and it was pretty amazing for the time. But no one would distribute it because they wanted to own it. And after what happened with Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, Walt had no intention of giving up ownership. And then he met another man named Harry Reichenbach, who owned the Colony Theater in New York. And Reichenbach said, listen, these distributors, they're not interested in anything that's untested. I'll play it at my theater, and the crowds will come in, and we'll prove you got something here. And so that's what happened on November 18th. The crowds did come in. They were super impressed by Mickey. I mean, he got loud laughter, loud ovations. Wonderful nights for Walt Disney for 2 weeks, standing in back of the theater. The New York Times reviewed it, said it was an ingenious cartoon, and forever after, the public knew the names Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse.
What is it about Mickey Mouse? And you said this, 1928, and you've just given us the great history of Mickey Mouse. What is it about this mouse that endures, do you think? Because there's so many characters now. There's an amazing amount of characters from other studios, too, Stephen, as you know. But somehow he does survive.
Well, you know, my opinion, and it's just my opinion, is Walt Disney's persistence in keeping that character out there. And I think part of that was losing Oswald the Rabbit, that he was determined... Well, Walt Disney was a superstitious man sometimes. He visited fortune tellers quite a bit. And he had this feeling that if Mickey died, everything he built up would die, and he was determined to keep the character front and center. And that grew to be a little bit of a problem, because one of the ways they marketed Mickey Mouse early on, this began in 1929, were the Mickey Mouse Clubs. And this had nothing to do with the TV show. This was kids showing up at movie theaters every week, given things to do by guidance counselors, secret handshakes, all sorts of stuff like this. Doing good deeds. It was like the Boy Scouts. In fact, the membership exceeded 1 million at one point. It was a huge thing in the country. And so Mickey sort of got cast as a role model. And over time, Walt was very limited with what he could do with the character, because if Mickey misbehaved on screen, like any other actor who's a role model, he'd get angry letters from parents. I mean, Mickey had that Miley Cyrus thing going there. You know, he had to behave, otherwise parents objected. So that sort of left the other characters to get more comedy, and that, of course, was Pluto and Donald and Goofy started stealing the show from Mickey. So Mickey could have very easily faded away at certain times. But Walt was so superstitious and so determined to keep him out there. I mean, you know, the way he tried to revive Mickey's career was Fantasia, which was in 1940, which was supposed to be one cartoon, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Right.
And then it grew into six or seven cartoons. But, you know, when he was making Fantasia, the Disney artists really didn't want to work with Mickey anymore. They were kind of tired of him. They said a four-foot mouse doesn't make any sense. And they suggested that Dopey replace Mickey in that movie. And Walt was determined. He said, no, you know, Dopey's not a reoccurring character. Mickey is. And, you know, he had his own logic about the thing. And Fantasia didn't do well, but then 15 years later, he had another chance to get Mickey front and center, and that was with the Mickey Mouse Club TV show in 1955, and that really restored Mickey's career. I mean, more kids saw him on TV than ever did in the movie theaters, and the mouse ear cab started selling, and everybody started singing that song, the Mickey Mouse Club song,
sure.
I think since then, Mickey's been pretty strong.
Yeah, no kidding. And is there still that I always thought it was pretty cool when there was the rivalry with Donald Duck. And do you think there's still a little bit of a rivalry there or no?
Well, I don't know. I think they just had a new video game, and Disney finally got Oswald the Rabbit back. And I think they're trying to create a Mickey Mouse-Oswald the Rabbit rivalry. Mickey Mouse in this new video game encounters Oswald the Rabbit. But yeah, you know, if the comedy suits their purpose, I'm sure he'll have a rivalry with Donald Duck. Again, that was the funny thing about Walt Disney, was that he loved Mickey Mouse and he didn't like Donald Duck. He kind of resented Donald Duck, horning in on Mickey Mouse's territory. In fact, you know, with Donald Duck, one of the things that happened was the Secretary of the Interior under President Roosevelt, Harold Ickes, he squawked when he talked and he waddled when he walked, and Roosevelt nicknamed him Donald Duck. And the Disney artists, after Donald was created, started to study Ickes and put his mannerisms into the character. And Walt himself once said, you know, it's hard to tell where Donald ends and Ickes begins. And, of course, Walt was actually the basis for Mickey Mouse a lot of the time. I mean, if Walt had traffic troubles, Mickey had traffic troubles. If Walt was in a brutal polo game, Mickey would be in a brutal polo game. So it was kind of Walt versus Ickes, and I don't know if Walt being a Republican had anything to do with it. You know, maybe he resented Ickes, but he definitely preferred, his alter ego Mickey to the obnoxious Donald. But, you know, he had to use Donald because he was a lot more versatile character after a while.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, I think of all the pals back then, and to me, besides, you know, what we were just talking about with Donald Duck, and why I asked you that is because my brother and I had that rivalry going on between the two. We would argue about it. And then you throw in Goofy. Then you throw in the, Minnie Mouse. And is Minnie Mouse still kind of popular, too? I mean, a lot of people like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, of course she's a popular character. She was never really a dark character like Mickey Mouse was. And they actually had a couple times she didn't even end up with Mickey Mouse. Like one cartoon, she actually ended up with Mickey's rival, Peg Leg Pete, and Mickey was a disappointed suitor. I don't think Minnie was really based on anybody in particular. I mean, of course Walt was married, but I don't think Minnie was Walt's wife Lillian like Walt was Mickey Mouse. I mean, the artists would literally study Walt when they were drawing Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
There's a story that one time he was crossing the street and a truck came by and he looked behind him to after the truck passed, and one of the artists made a crack, always checking to see if the truck ran over his tail. So there was that great association there. And I think Minnie was just, to be quite honest, it was just a girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Picking Up Hollywood Stories, it's a great read. You are, my friend, an encyclopedia of really fun information. And we appreciate all the times that you come on America tonight. Happy Turkey Day. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Oh, sure. The book's called Hollywood Stories, and short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies.
Yeah, pick it up. You'll enjoy it. We'll be back.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vadini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's getthetea.com.
Only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a keep looking at me, 'cause it don't mean a thing if you're looking at me. I'ma do my thing while you're playing with you.
All right, America, can you see this? I'm holding up my mouse ears because we just had Stephen Shohet on, and who doesn't at some point in their life, who doesn't have any mouse ears out there? You had to have gotten a pair of them. I don't care if, you know, you got them in the 60s, you got them 2 years ago, whenever it was, but then you get on the back. The thing that you do, and of course now you have to wait in line for ever and a day, you get the stitching on the back. You get the stitching on the back. I think I have to put on my mouse ears. Matt, this is radio, so I'm going to put on, I'm going to see if I can put it on with my, whatchamacallit, with my headset on. Let's see how that looks. Wow, I have mouse ears on.
Looking
Mickey
good.
Mickey Mouse. It doesn't really work over the whatchamacallit, the headsets. And since I do have to hear what people are saying, I have to put them aside. But I love my mouse ears. My mouse ears, as much as I was in love with Mickey Mouse, it was Minnie Mouse that I had. And I got them actually just last year when I was at Disney World. My My man got them for me, and it's crazy. Mickey Mouse. So your favorite Disney character is who? Matt? He doesn't have a
few. I don't know. We were talking about this before, and I was supposed to come up with one, and I failed at that. I don't know if I have a favorite one. Goofy was always kind of cool because he was just random. Donald Duck. There was the DuckTales show that I was a big fan of when I was younger. And I don't know if I could pick out a favorite character. Baloo was kind of good from the Jungle Book.
Mm.
And also Tailspin, if you're young enough to remember that show.
Tailspin.
And what else? Launchpad from DuckTales. I liked him, too.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, I knew you could come up with something, but of course it wasn't Mickey Mouse. So if you have any stories, and I think they're good, about the mouse ears, send them to me at americatonight.net, americatonight.net, and we'll send you some coconut water.
Oatman just wanted to put in his vote, too, for Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck was awesome. Oh, that's a
swimming,
good character.
Swimming around in the money?
Yes.
In his money mint?
Yes. Oh, that's good.
That was good.
The
and
guy
also
with the
in
great
the,
name.
What? Because they did the remake of, what was that? The Christmas, was it Christmas Story?
Christmas Story. Yes, yes.
And they
oh,
made
I
the
love
Disney
Christmas
version
story.
Of it with Scrooge
yeah.
McDuck as
yeah.
the, whatever that character is. Was it Scrooge? I don't know.
McDuck. I don't know. I've got now you have me curious. We're all going to run and try to find it, right?
Email.
So, yeah. The ears. The ears have it. I love the ears. All right. And Annette Funicella, Gemstar, says, Annette Funicella, loving the Mickey Mouse Club because I fell in love. You know, speaking of the Mickey Mouse Club, that was Justin Timberlake, too, and Britney Spears. And look at Justin Timberlake. Is there a guy that is more creative than Justin Timberlake? You think of his little Saturday Night Live appearances and some of the funny things that guy's done. I really like Timberlake. I think he is hands down one of the most talented performers. Whether you're talking about acting, he was in the Facebook movie, or you're talking about some of the crazy things that he's done on Saturday Night Live with Andy, what's his name, Samberg. Just very, very, very talented, no doubt about it. All right, let's hit up some odds and ends quickly for you. If you missed it earlier this hour, we were talking about the TSA. The big boycott is supposed to happen in airports across America tomorrow, meaning boycotting the scanners. So you say, I don't want to go in the scanner. I want to get the pat down. I refuse to do the scanner. And then you clog up the line because by the time they pat enough people down, it takes much more time than just standing in the middle of the scanner. The guy who came up with the boycott idea, the opt-out, it's called opt-out. The guy who came up with the opt-out idea, by the way, is not even traveling. Don't you love that? I think there's going to be delays anyway in the airport, so I don't know if it's going to be because of the opt-out day or because it's just a really rough day to travel. That's why I'm traveling when I get off the show on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the morning. I bet there are some lawmakers who would be traveling. One thing that there's a little bit of a buzz about in the, I think in the, what I call in the Beltway and beyond the Beltway, because now people are finding out about it. Remember, we were singing the praises of the ban on earmarks, and Mitch McConnell, the senator from Kentucky, was reluctantly talking. He didn't say reluctantly, but he was saying, I'm on board, oh, ban on the earmarks. And he was a guy who I would have normally probably been a holdout if you go back and look at the history of the earmarks that he stuck in things, like many others. So the money included in this ban on the earmarks a bill by one of the lawmakers to benefit a home state project. So only 3 days after the senators and senators-elect, because that was a big deal too, rallied around the idea that forget the pork, we're done with the pork. You had Arizona Senator John Kyle, who's the number two Senate Republican. He got himself $200 million to settle an Arizona Indian tribe's water rights claim against the government. So that's $200 million, not two, $200 million. What he did was, and this is what happens with earmarks, he slipped it into a larger bill that Barack Obama, the Prez, was asking for and passed by the Senate, on Friday, last Friday, to settle claims by black farmers and American Indians against the federal government. So the office of Senator Kyle says, listen, this is measure is not an earmark. And the House didn't really think it was one when they considered a version earlier in the year. So he's saying, don't put it under the umbrella of earmark. It's not. But here's the thing. Under Senate rules, and I looked it up, too. Under Senate rules, let me see. I got to hear my little trusty paper. Under Senate rules, an earmark is a spending item inserted primarily at the request of a senator and to an entity or is targeted to a specific state. So if you go by that criteria, the definition, it is an earmark. And it allows the people on the Hill to steer money, federal money, to projects in their states and in their districts. And it can be lots of different things. It can be road projects. It can be sewer projects. It can be economic development projects. So we get that. So already it's gone down the drain. Yeah. Even if you look at Max Baucus, Democrat out of Montana, and Jeff Bingaman, another Democrat of New Mexico, they got in on the action, too. They added measures benefiting their states to the black farmers' tribal royalty settlements, and they got almost $370 mil for projects to implement water settlements. I mean, that's earmarks. That's what they are. Because it might you might not seem like one because you say, oh, well, it's necessary. We need this drinking water project. But that's what it is. It's not going to the people of the United States. It's going to specifically one state, the state that you are representing. Yeah, get it? All right, quickly, speaking of odds and ends, we don't know a lot more. I just, in fact, got a text back from somebody I know in New Zealand, and really all they know is that pretty much it's 29 miners that were victims of the second, they think, the second blast in a mine, where you had toxic gases that held up the rescue effort, and that was the biggest problem here. So the methane gas, once again, and it's the Pike River Mine, and it's in Greymouth, New Zealand. Sadly, here we go again with more miners, this time killed. In Chile, they weren't, thank goodness, every single one of them up from under the ground. Didn't happen this time. They sent in a robot to see what was going on into the coal mine, found a miner's hat with the light still burning. So they thought, well, maybe the miners could still be alive, broke a hole in 530 feet down. But, again, lo and behold, then you get the second blast. No good. We're leaving you with that one. Remember, you can always stay locked and loaded to America Tonight. Go to americatonight.net.
Ocean floor, such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we be putting foot on you, looking under the sea. Is happy as after the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy. The sharkers they in the pool. But fish in the bowl is lucky. They aim for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
guess who's gonna be on the plate?